Always helps if I start the recorder. All right, again, today's daf, everybody. Good morning. Today's daf, Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. Again, the rabbi left off 10 lines down. Rava Amar, apologies for those who are listening on YU Torah. I did announce the sponsorships, and it's a short daf because of Slicha, so I'm not going to have time to review the sponsorship. So today we're going to cover really three primary topics. First, we're going to pick up with the discussion that we started yesterday about a guy who makes a tanai when he gives a woman kedushin, saying almanas that she doesn't have any nedarim on her, and then it turns out that she has a neder that a chacham can be matir. So we saw a conflicting brisas with respect to that situation. Is when a chacham or because a chacham could be matir the neder, do we say it doesn't matter whether she has any nedarim because the chacham can make the nedarim go away anyway? Or even though the chacham can make the nedarim go away, even though the chacham can be matir the neder, is he still not interested in having the kedushin go through because the woman was subject to nedarim, notwithstanding that the chacham is able to be matir the neder? So what we had said yesterday was that this machlokas, the conflicting brisas, depends on a machlokas whether between Rav Meir and Rav Elazar, whether Adam rotze shetesbaze ishto bebeistin o lo, whether a person is interested in having his wife suffer the indignity of going to Basin in order to be matir the neder or not. According to the Madarma, who says that a person doesn't mind his wife suffering that indignity, then if a person makes a tanai that the kedushin should only be chal if there are no nedarim, and she is able to go be matir the neder, then the kedushin is going to go through because there are no nedarim, and the person doesn't mind that his wife should have to go to Basin and have the chacham be matir the neder. But the brisa which said that the kedushin doesn't go through, that brisa holds like the Man D'Amar who says that ein adam rotze es ishto shetes vaza bebeisin, that a person is not interested in having his wife suffer the indignity of going to Beisin, and therefore even though it's possible for her to go to the chacham and be matur the neder, a person would never wish that on his wife, and therefore the kedushin is not going to be valid, even though there is a possibility, there is a prospect of having that neder, experience a hataras chacham, or having that neder be annulled via hataras chacham. Today we're going to see another potential explanation to what that contradiction in the brisas is all about. That's what we're going to start with. We're then going to move to a discussion of mumen. So if you'll recall back in the Mishnah, we spoke about the guy who made a tanai that the kedushin should only be chal if either there are no nedarim that the woman is subject to, or there are no mumen that the woman has. So we're going to talk all about the mumen, the concept of whether the mumen that apostle for this type of tanai are those that apostle for kahuna, for a kohen in order to perform the avoda. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, what type of mumen we might be talking about. Then we're going to get to the Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Hayim and Aleph, and then we're going to talk about what happens if the woman is discovered to have a mum at a certain time, whether she is discovered to have a mum while she's still in her father's house, whether she's discovered to have a mum after she's already enters her husband's house, who has to bring a raya and what chazaka is applicable in order to try to figure out when the mum took effect, when the mum presented itself. Why does it matter when the mum presented itself? Because if the guy gave the woman kedushin, I'll deny that there are no mumin, and it turns out that there was no mum at that time, then the kedushin would be chal. If it turns out that there was a mum at that time, then the kedushin wouldn't be chal. So we're going to talk all about those chazakas, very interesting topics on Amud Beis. But again, Marenu left off 10 lines from the top on Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. Rava Amar, so says the Gemara as follows. Rava Amar, the way we resolve the contradiction as to the guy who made the kedushin al tanai, that there not be any mumin that his wife be subject to, and his wife is able to go be matir the neder, yet doesn't, so the machlokas could be explained as follows. Rava Amar, hocha bisha chashuva askinam. We're talking about an isha chashuva, damar lo nichali ditzar bekrovosea. So chachavein of barosha, the guy's thinking ahead. In other words, he says he made a tanai that he doesn't want to marry a woman who's subject to nedarim. So even though this woman happens to now be subject to nedarim that she could take care of by going to a chacham to be matur in the neder, but the guy knows that even though this particular neder could be addressed and resolved through a Torah's chacham, he also knows that it's very likely the wife is going to make nedarim again. It's therefore very likely that he's going to be in a position where he's going to have to divorce his wife. He doesn't want to divorce his wife because this woman is an Isha Chashuva, and the halacha is, if you marry a woman and then you divorce your wife, you are not allowed to marry all of her krovim who are usur to you when she is married to you. For example, her sister remains usur even after divorce. Her mother remains usur even after divorce. So we might be talking about an Isha Chashuva where the guy is less interested in having this marriage go through and more interested than keeping his options open. The guy wants to keep his options open with the relatives of this woman. And therefore, he doesn't want to marry the woman under the circumstances where the chacham could be matur the neder, because he knows the situation is going to present itself again, and he'd rather keep his optionality open regarding the ability to marry her relatives. So says the Gemara, however, says the Gemara, seifa diktani aval hushalach etzal chacham v'tiro etzal rofe v'ripo. So what if the guy made a tnai, not that the woman shouldn't be subject to nedarim, or that the woman shouldn't be a balas mum, but the guy gave a woman kedushin al menas that he shouldn't be subject to nedarim, or on condition that he shouldn't be a bal mum. Now, presumably he did that for the benefit of his wife. And so it says in the Seifa that if he can go to a chacham to be matur the neder, if he could go to a doctor to heal the mum, then mikudeshes. Then the kedushin does go through. V'lisni ein mekedeshes. V'le mahach abadam chashav askina. Damar lanichali disar bekrevei. Why don't we say that ein mekedeshes? And even though he is able to go to a chacham to be matur the nedarim that he took, why don't we say that the woman is not interested in this type of shidduch because the woman knows that he's going to be subject to nedarim again? They're going to wind up having to get divorced. And maybe she doesn't want to remain usher to his relatives, which who would have been usher to him even after they're married. Happens to be the Rishonim are bothered because unlike the flip side, which we discussed, unlike the situation where the guy makes a tnai that the woman shouldn't be subject to nedarim, he may not want the marriage to go through, even if there is a possibility of Ataras Chacham, because it's always in his election to divorce his wife later on if the situation presents itself again. However, over here, where he made the tnai that he not be subject to nedarim, we're saying, oh, maybe the woman doesn't want the kedushin to go through because maybe later when they get divorced, she's going to remain usur on his relatives. But it's not her option whether to get divorced because she can't get divorced unless the guy is willing to give her a get. So the Rishonim struggle with what exactly the Gemara is saying here, but it's obvious that the Gemara is pointing out that there is no parallel, that whereas by a guy, he wants to keep his options open. He doesn't want to go through with the shidduch because he would rather keep his options open and keep himself permissible to marry her relatives. Whereas by the woman, we say that she does want the shidduch to go through and she does not want to keep her options open with his relatives. So says the Gemara, yeah, it's because of the difference in psychology between a man and a woman. E becholdu nichala, she is satisfied with any type of shidduch. Because the Reish Lakesh, like the famous maxim of Reish Lakesh, Damar Reish Lakesh, Tov Lameitav Tandu, Milamesav Armalu, that by a woman, her psychology is that she'd rather have companionship than remain alone. And now the Gemara is going to quote a very similar Gemara, an identical Gemara, actually, to one that we had in the end of Maseches Yevamos. The only reason I remember it is because the rabbi was away for the summer already, so I was giving the shiur then. So Abaya Omar, Abaya says as follows, Dishum Shemana Gavra, if you have a woman whose husband is as short as an ant, Kursei Be Chara, she still brings her chair over to the place where Ramila, she brings her chair over to the place where the free woman sits. In other words, she can still hold herself proudly and conduct herself like a free woman and sit among the aristocracy of society because she's still married even though her husband is not such a great catch. Even if her husband has a very demeaning profession, a very low profession, like one who combs wool, she still sits proudly at the doorstep with her husband. Rav Ashi Amar Dekalsa Gavra, Lo Boy Tlafche Likdera. That if her husband is of tainted lineage, she will not even demand lentils for a pot. Meaning she's just happy to be married. She's not going to try to rock the boat. However, says the Gemara, Vekula Mazanas Vatolos Bebaleim, that the reason that they're all willing to tolerate these very unsavory marriages, is, says the Gemara in a somewhat cynical manner, is because it's better for them to be married. Why? Because then they could go be Mazana. They go have illicit relations, and if they happen to get pregnant from the product of the illicit relations, they just blame it on their husband. They say, what do you want? It's yours. And so in other words, they happens to be that they remain married, not because they have any sort of relationship with their husbands, but because it allows them to go be mizaneh and have relations with other people. Because again, they're not so enamored with their husbands. Okay, first wine line. Kol mumen shaposlen. So we were dealing with a case where the guy said that he's going to go through with the kedushin al tanai that the woman doesn't have any mumen, and then we said that all the mumen which pasul for kahuna also constitute mumen over here, which would prevent the kedushin from going through. Says the Gemara Tano Sifa Layem Zeya Veshuma Varechapet that we added onto them. In other words, not only the mumen that pasul for kahuna pasul by this tanai for marriage, but also if the woman is sweaty, or if the woman has a mole, or if the woman has very bad breath, that would also pasul for the purpose of kedushin. Says the Gemara, Bahani Bakhani lo pasli, but did these not pasul for kahuna as well? Because you are using these as examples of mumen in addition to the mumen which pasul for kahuna, that they also pasul by women. But I thought these pasul for kahuna as well. Vatanan, we learn in the Mishnah, Zakein vachole vamezuam. Now we're talking about animals, but it turns out that the same mumen which pasul for animals also pasul for kohanim, that if you have a very old animal, or a very sick animal, or a very foul-smelling animal, Vitnan, Mumen Elu, Bain Kvun, Bain Ovrim, Psulim, Ba'adam. That these Mumen, just like they pasul by a behema, whether they are Mumen Kavua or whether they are Mum Over, in other words, whether they're permanent or whether they're temporary, they also pasul by a man. They also pasul for Kahuna. So we see Mizuam, foul smelling. So why are you saying that, unlike by Kahuna, where a sweaty Kohen isn't possibly avoda, if the guy makes a tanai that his woman, that his wife rather shouldn't have a mum, then if she is sweaty, then it's considered a mum. We see it's considered a mum by Kohen as well. So as the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Chanina, lo kasha, kan bezeya veres, kan bezeya sheino veres. No, because there's a difference between zeya veres and zeya sheino veres. Zeya veres, says Tosfos, it's not that it's a temporary condition, but rather it's a condition that can be temporarily alleviated. Because what happens if you have a Kohen who's very smelly, you know what you do? You put him in the shower, you tell him use a lot of soap, and then you come out of the shower, you dry yourself off, you get dressed in your big tikkun, and you go do the avoda. So that is fine by a zeyo averes. By a zeyna she'eno averes, in other words, by a smell which is impossible to rectify, even if the person showers and bathes and puts on cologne and whatever, then obviously it's going to be possible. Ravashi Amar Ravashi says it was never a kasha to begin with. Zeya amizuam karamis. The mum that we said pasuls by a behema and therefore pasuls by a kohen is mizuham. That's foul smelling. Zeya sta means that sometimes she gets a little bit sweaty. Sahasam gabe kahanim efshar liavra b'kiyua dechamra efshar liavra b'kiyua dechamra. And then the Gemara answers similarly that by kohanim it's possible to bathe in the Gemara. I guess this is the Gemara's equivalent of like a fragrant soap or a cologne. You could bathe in wine vinegar. And also, if they suffer from bad breath, then you're able to have the kohen chew on a little bit of pepper, and they could do the avoda. The Rambam happens to be medayek that the only way the avoda is kosher is if in fact they bathe in wine vinegar or they use pepper in order to alleviate their bad breath. But if they don't try to remedy the situation, then their avoda would taka be psula. Aval gabe isha, but back in the Gemara, but by a woman, lo efshar, it's not possible to say, oh, it doesn't matter if she's smelly because let her bathe in white vinegar. It doesn't matter if her breath is bad because let her just chew pepper. This is a relationship between a husband and a wife. They're always going to be together. Unlike by a kohen, where he could try to alleviate this situation for a couple of minutes to do the avoda, the husband and the wife are always together, and therefore it's going to be impossible to live with one another like that. Says the Gemara, one of the things that you mentioned on this list is a mole. So says the Gemara, Hai Shuma Hechadami, what type of mole are we talking about? Edis Beisayer, if there's hair in the mole, Hachavacha Pasla, then they should be Pasla in any case. In other words, both Lagabe Kuna and Lagabe this Tanai on Kedushin. And Edilois Beisar, and if there is no hair in the mole, then Ishu Megdolahi, if it's a large mole, Hachavacha Pasla, then it should be Pasla both by Kahuna and by this Tanai. Ishu Mektani, and if it's a small mole without hair, then it shouldn't pasul both by Kohanim and by the woman. the Tanya, because we have a brisa that tells us that. Shuma sheyesh ba seir, if you have a mole that has seir growing out of it, hareiz a mum, then it's considered to be a mum. Ein ba seir, if there is no hair growing out of the mole, then gadola hareiz a mum. If it's a large mole, then that is considered a mum. Katana ein ze mum. However, if it's a small mole, then it's not considered a mum. Veize gadola, and how do we differentiate between gadola and katana? Perish Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel ad kisari italki. It's until the size of an iser ha'italki. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yossi, Rav Chanina ba medes al padachta, that we're talking about a situation where the mole is a small mole, but it's standing on her, but it's situated on her forehead. So in other words, it's situated in plain sight. So we're going to see in a second why the Gemara says her forehead and not, for example, her chin or her cheek. So it says the Gemara, but padachta rav v'nefayis hu. So, but if the mole is a small mole, so it wouldn't possible by kahuna, but we're saying it would still possible if he says that he's only marrying the woman on condition that she doesn't have a mum, and the mole is right on her forehead. So what kind of tanai is this? Because obviously the guy sees the woman who he's going to get married to. So he sees that she has a mole on her forehead, and obviously he's mochel on the fact that she has a mole on her forehead. So why in the world would the kedushin not go through? So says the Gemara, Amar Papa ba medes lo tachas kipa shel rosha. Because it's generally situated right like near the hairline, so she usually keeps it covered with a cap that she wears. Vizimnid in mischazi, vizimnid lo mischazi. So in other words, sometimes it's visible, sometimes it's not visible. Therefore, we can't assume that the guy necessarily sees the mole and is mochel on the mole. So says the Gemara now, Amar Rav Chista, ha milsa migav Rav Shmuel yaman Rav Shila. So he heard it from Rav Shila. Nashcha kelev v'nasa mekomot salakas. If she's bitten by a dog and the wound scars over, I raise a mum. That's considered to be a mum. And Amar Rav Chista, kol avabisha, I raise a mum. A deep voice in a woman is also a mum. Shenemar ki kol echareif umarech naveh. Because part of the attractive qualities of a woman is that she have a very pleasant voice, that she have a very feminine voice, and not that she have a very deep voice. Says the Gemara Naviter, Tana Rav Nasan Bira. So Rav Nasan Bira says as follows, I'm just going to read the words, this is the Gemara speaking, I'm not going to explain this. So Bein Dada Isha Tefach, that between a woman's breasts is a tefach of space. So Savarla Rav Acha Brei de Rav Kamei de Rav Ashi Lemeimar Tefach Lamal Yusa. He thought what Rav Nasan Bira meant was that that's an attractive quality, that there be a tefach of space between the woman's breasts. So Amar Rav Ashi Gabe Mumin Tanya. So Rav Ashi says, no, it's Gabe Mumin. In other words, that if there's a tefach of space between the woman's breasts, that's considered to be a mum. The kama, and how much, Rashi explains, how much space should there be between a woman's breasts so that it should be attractive and not a mum. So Amar Abaye Shalosh Hasbos. Three fingers. So three fingers instead of a tefach, that's the amount of space that there really should be. Any more is a mum. Tani Rav Nosan Omer, kol isha shadadea gasim yishal chavraseah, any woman whose breasts are larger than her friends, areze a mum, that's considered to be a mum, vakama, and how much larger? Sam Rav Maisha berei derav Yeshua ben Levi, mishmei derav Yeshua ben Levi, tefach. If a tefach larger is considered to be a mum. So says the Gemara, so miika kihai gavna, is there a woman, any woman who has breasts that are that large? So says the Gemara, in Dama Rabba Barachana, Nira Isi Aravia Echas, I once saw an Arab woman, Shehef Shila Dadea Lacharev, and Ika's Bena, that she literally slung her breasts over her shoulder and she nursed her son while the son was on her back. Okay, whatever. Good thing the rabbi missed this, so better that I should read this. So says the Gemara as follows. Ulitzion Yomer Ish Ish Yulad Ba V'hu Yichananea Elyon. And Tzion, Teretz Yisrael, it says Ish Ish Yulad Ba, both a person who is born there and a person who places Tzion on a pedestal, a person who places Tzion on high. So Amar Rav Maisha Bar Berei Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Echas HaNolad Ba V'Echas HaMetzapeh LaRosa. This refers to somebody who's born in Eretz Yisrael and somebody who can't wait to see Eretz Yisrael. So Amar Abaye V'Chad Minayu, and one born Eretz Yisrael is Adif Ketrei Minun, is better than two B'nai Bavel. So what does it mean that one born Eretz Yisrael is better than two B'nai Bavel? It's talking legabe learning. Why? Because if you learn in Eretz Yisrael, you have a lot of siyata d'shmaya, and it's much easier to learn in Eretz Yisrael. The Mefarshim explained that's why the Talmud Yerushalmi is so much shorter than the Talmud Bavli, because in the Talmud Yerushalmi, the halacha is very, very clear, and therefore you have Halacha Gemara, Halacha Gemara. That's what they call the Mishnah in the Talmud Yerushalmi. But it's very, very direct. Whereas in Talmud Bavli, you have a lot of pilpul in order to figure out the right shot. It's because in Eretz Yisrael, they had this Siyata D'Shmaya. Therefore, one Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael is better than two Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel. However, Amar Rava v'chad minon ki solik lahasam. If anybody from Bavel goes to Eretz Yisrael, adif katrei minayu, then he's better than two Talmidei Chachamim b'nei Eretz Yisrael. So the case in point is Rav Yirmiyah. When he was in Bavel, he didn't know what in the world the rabbis were talking about. However, then he made Aliyah, he went to Eretz Yisrael, and then all of a sudden he started denigrating the Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel. He started calling them Bavli Tipshoi. So when he was here, he didn't know what the Rebbe was talking about. When he went to Eretz Yisrael, he became the top of the class. And the reason is because if a person starts off in Bavel and sort of cuts his teeth on the Shakla V'Tarya and the Gemara and the logical reasoning and the deductive analysis, and then he goes to Eretz Yisrael where he combines the toil of Torah with the Siyata D'Shmaya, that's going to lead to the greatest accomplishments in Limud HaTorah. Okay, says the Mishnah bottom of Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. So if she has a mum and she's still in her father's house, of course, we're talking about a situation where a guy gave a woman kedushin and said that I am being mekadesh you al manas that you don't have a mum. Turns out now that she has a mum in her and she's still in her father's house. So the father has to bring a raya that the mum first presented itself after erusin. And therefore, at the time of Erusin, there was no mum. And therefore, the guy's tanai is fulfilled. And the fact that she developed a mum after engagement while she was still in the father's house, this guy's bad luck. But it's going to be a valid kiddushin. And the Me'iri obviously says, the Me'iri says, obviously, we are talking about a situation where the mum is not a birth defect, it's obviously a mum that could present itself later in life. So again, if the guy makes a tanai that the kedushin shall be chal if there are no mumen, and we discover the mum when she's still in her father's house, the father has to bring a raya that the mum first presented itself after erusin. However, niknas l'rishos habaal, if she goes into the rishos of her husband, and then the mum is discovered, habaal tzarech lavi raya sha'ad shalonis arsa hoya b'mum. It's on the husband to bring a raya that the mum was present before erusin, and therefore the kedushin was a kedushei tos. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir shita. In other words, Rabbi Meir says the person who has to bring a raya, that will depend on where the woman is situated when the mum is discovered. If it's discovered in her father's house, the father has to bring a raya that the mum didn't present itself until after erusin. If the mum is discovered in the husband's house, the husband has to bring a raya that the mum was there even from before erusin. This whole situation, this whole discussion is only speaking about mum and shebeseser, only by mum and which are not evident. But if you have a mum shebegolui, in other words, it's on a part of her body that's exposed, ena yacholiton, turning to ayin ayamid beis, ena yacholiton, he is not able to claim that the kedushin should not go through altogether. Rashi says, the yadav in espayes, because it's obvious that he sees this mum and he is mochel on this mum. And says the Mishnah further, Vimyesh Merchatz Bioso Air, if there's a bathhouse in the city, Af Mumin Shabbaseser and Yachaliton, he can't claim ignorance even as to Mumin Shabbaseser, Mneshu Bodka Bikrovosov. Because he will make sure that his relatives go to the bathhouse and they try to scout out the woman to see whether she has any Mumin. So the guy can't claim surprise, he can't feign surprise. No matter what mumen the woman may have, either the mumen will be in an exposed area of her body, in which case he should have seen them, or even if the mumen are on a concealed part of her body, he should have done his due diligence. He should have sent his relatives in order to check her out in the bathhouse. So it turns out that when we say relatives, we don't dafka mean relatives. We also mean, in other words, he might know the wife of a friend or something. In other words, he could find a woman to go check this woman out in the bathhouse. Says the Gemara as follows. Now, Taima Demaisi Avraya. The reason that the Kedushin can go through if the mum is found in her father's house is because the father can bring a raya that the mum didn't present itself until after the erusin. Hola, Mosi Lavraya Habal Mehemet. But it's apparent that if the father can't bring a raya, that the mum presented itself first after the erusin, then the husband is going to be believed. Then the husband is going to be believed that the mum preceded the erusin, says Rashi, because we're going to be mamid mamon al cheskaso, because she is trying to have the marriage go through, so that therefore if the marriage terminates, she should get her ksuva. Right now the ksuva money is in the husband's rishus, and therefore mamid mamon al cheskaso, and the husband would be believed were it not for the fact that the father were actually able to bring a raya. So money, Rabbi Yeshua he. So who's this? So this is like Rabbi Yeshua. So you may remember back in the first perek, we had all these machloks in between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel, whether we believe a woman when she comes with a certain taina. So back then we were discussing the taina of Misha Restani Nenasti, that they were arguing about whether she had a relation with another man either before the erusin or after the erusin. That Rabbi Gamliel was the one who always believed the woman, and Rabbi Yeshua was always the one who said lo mipia nechayin. So says the Gemara, our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yeshua, de amar lo mipia nechayin, that we are not going to believe her because we follow the cheskas mamon. We don't follow the cheskas aguf. In other words, the cheskas aguf by a woman is that she's a besula until she's a beula. So even though the woman is saying, no, I was a besula when we got engaged, but I only became a beula after we got engaged because I was raped after we got engaged, v'nisapcha sadeyu, so follow the cheskas aguf that I was a besula. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, we're not going to follow the cheskas aguf. Just like over here, the cheskas aguf is that she doesn't have a mum, because again, we're not talking about birth defects, we're talking about mumen which present themselves after the fact. The chazaka is that she doesn't have a mum, but Rabbi Yeshua is not going to believe her. Says the Gemara, Ema Seifa, Nichnas Adar Rosh Hashabal, but if she's already in the husband's house, Habal Tzarech Lavi Raya, the Baal has to bring a raya that the mum preceded the engagement. So taima demaisi abal raya. The only reason that the husband's believed is because he brings a raya. Holo moisei abal raya avmehmen. But without the Baal's raya, the father would be believed to say that the mum followed the erusin, that it didn't precede the erusin. Asal the regum liel demar nemenes. But now we're on the sheet of Rav Gamliel, who says the woman is believed because we do follow her cheskas aguf. So what is it? Is our mission like Rav Gamliel, or is our mission like Rabbi Yeshua? So Amar Rav Elazar Tavra Misha Shanazu Lo Shanazu. You're right. It's a contradiction that the two portions of the Mishnah cannot be reconciled. And Rashi explains that what this means is that according to Rabbi Yeshua, we wouldn't believe the woman regardless of where she was when the mum was discovered. And according to Rabbi Gamliel, we will believe the woman regardless of where she was when the mum was discovered. That it's not dependent on where she is. We either always believe her and we follow the cheskas aguf, or we never believe her because we don't follow the cheskas aguf. So says the Gemara, Amar Rava, lo tamer Rav Yeshua, lo azil basar chazaka degufa klal. That Rava says, don't say that Rav Yeshua never follows the cheskas haguf. Ela kilo azul Rabbi Yeshua basar chazaka degufa hecha deika chazaka de mamona. The only time Rabbi Yeshua doesn't follow a cheskas haguf is when there is a countervailing cheskas mamon. So in other words, because over here the Baal has a cheskas mamon because the ksuva money is in his rishus. So he has a chazaka over that ksuva money. So because she's trying to extract the ksuva money from him, that's why we're not going to follow the cheskas aguf according to Rabbi Yeshua. Aval hecha deleka chazaka de mamona azul Rabbi Yeshua basar chazaka de gufa. However, where there is no cheskas mamon that counterbalances the cheskas aguf, even according to Rabbi Yeshua, we will follow cheskas aguf. Therefore, says Tosfos, that if there are two chazakas, if there on one hand there's a cheskas aguf, on the other hand there's another type of chazaka, we will follow the cheskas aguf, which is going to be stronger than the other type of chazaka. The only time we will not follow a cheskas aguf is when the cheskas aguf is connected to cheskas mamon, we're not going to follow the cheskas aguf in the face of a cheskas, in the face of a cheskas mamon. So how do we know this? Tatanya, because we have the following brisa. In baheres kodem l'seir lavan, by tsaras, if the baheres, if the spot is before the seir lavan, Tamei, that she's going to be Tamei, and him Seir Lavan, Kodem L'Baheres, if the Seir Lavan precedes the Baheres, then Tar. Safek, Tamei, if there's a Safek, then it's Tamei, but Rav Yeshua Omer, Keya, no, Rav Yeshua says it's Keya. What does it mean, Keya? My Keya, faint, Keya literally means faint, but what does it mean, Keya? Amar Rabba, Kehei, Tahar, like this, it should be Tahar, meaning that we follow the Cheskas Haguf. And if there's a suffix, we are going to resolve it in favor of the cheskas aguf. Her cheskas aguf is what? That she doesn't have tsaras. Therefore, if there's a suffix, we're going to say that she doesn't have tsaras. I thought Rav Yeshua doesn't follow cheskas aguf. No, he doesn't follow cheskas aguf only when it's against the cheskas mamon, like it is here. But when it's not against the cheskas mamon, of course he follows the cheskas aguf. Says the Gemara Vayta, Rav Amar Reisha kanimtsu v'kanayu, Seifa kanimtsu v'kanayu. That we're going to follow wherever she was. In other words, what does it mean? Kam nimsu b'kam hayu. In other words, this is all like Rav Gamliel. Rav Gamliel says that the halacha, because we paskal like Rav Gamliel in the first perek, that the cheskas haguf is always going to prevail. However, the chazaka in the first case of the Mishnah, where the mum is already discovered in her father's house, the chazaka is undermined. Because what are you going to say? It's a chazaka that she didn't have a mum? But she's in her father's house now and she has a mum. So the situation undermines the chazaka. So where the mum is found in the father's house, it undermines the chazaka. Where the mum is first found in the husband's house, so we still have the chazaka that when she was in her father's house, she didn't have the mum. So Esve Abaya, but Frekta Abaya, Nichnas al Rishos Abal, if she enters the Rishos Abal, Abal Tzorach Lavi Raya, the Baal has to bring a Raya, Shad Shalot Tis Ares Hayubamum. That she had the mum when she got engaged. So hayubam mumin elu vayemekal mekachtos shad shalotis ares in mishitis ares lo vamai lema kan nimsu vakan hayu. But why is it all totally on the period of engagement? Why is it all totally on that moment of engagement? Why don't we follow where the woman is when the mum was discovered? Samalei mishinis arsa mishum de ikalamemar chazaka ein adam shosav akos elim kein bodko. No. The key moment here is the moment of erusin. Why? Because regardless of where the woman is at the moment of erusin, we're not going to blindly say, oh, well, if she was in her father's house, then she obviously had the mum. Because if the moment of erusin took place when she was still in her father's house, we have a chazaka that a person doesn't drink a kos unless he's bodek the kos. What kos are we talking about? We're talking about the koshel erusin. The guy would never go through with the engagement unless he's bodek the wife and sees that she doesn't have a mum. And this guy sees the mum, and therefore he's nespayesu, he's mochel on it. Nami, but then why is it totally on engagement? Even before engagement, he saw the mum and he was nespayes. Elamina chazaka ina the mafayes b'mumin. But we also have a chazaka that the woman is not, that the guy is not going to forgive a mum. He's not going to be mochel on a mum. So chanami chazaka ina the mafayes b'mumin. But hang on, after engagement, we also have a chazaka that the guy is not going to be mochel on a mum. So the question is he going to be mochel on a mum or not? If yes, then he was mochel. And if not, why does it depend on the moment of engagement? Elamishnis arsa. Mishum di katarti. Chazaka hemet aguf al cheskaso, v'chazaka eidan amshot sabakos elim kein botko, v'ay raya v'nispayesu. So, no, because once he's engaged, we have two chazakas. First of all, we have the cheskas aguf that the mum didn't present itself until after the engagement, number one. Number two, we have a chazaka that the guy, once he got engaged, he only got engaged because he was mochel on the mum. So my amrit, chazaka ein adam mafayis b'mumin, havichada b'makam tarti, vichada b'makam tarti, lo amrinan. So we're not going to follow one chazaka in the place of two, because we have only one chazaka that says that the guy is not going to be mafayis with a mum. We have another chazak, and on the counter side, on the flip side, we have one chazaka that's a ches chazakot that she was not a balas mum. And on the other end, we also have the chazaka that a person's never going to go through with the erusin unless he checks out the woman and is mochel on any woman. And that, therefore, we have a two against one, and we're going to follow the two chazakos against the single chazaka. All right, so we'll stop here. The rabbi is back tomorrow, and we'll continue with the top of Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. Everybody have a wonderful day.